Not my recording.
Not my recording.
Okay. Your...
I'm the shift admission for the Samoan team here at the London Games. And back home, I'm the General Secretary General.
And your name is?
And Julie Twana.
And you are?
I'm Frida Khan.
And you're the coach.
I'm the assistant coach.
Assistant coach of the athletics athletes.
Yes.
Okay, that's who you have here as athletics people.
Yes.
How big is the whole group?
All together?
Yep.
Five. There's three officials and two athletes.
Okay.
One female, one male.
Okay. And one of them qualified and one of them was a wild card?
No. Both of them were wild cards. Both new to the Paralympic Games.
Yep.
And yes.
Were they very excited to learn that they were coming here?
Absolutely. Ecstatics.
Samoa's population is how big?
About 180,000.
Oh, so there's not many of
them. Very, very small. There's actually more Samoan people living overseas
than
in the island itself.
So, when they come, they've both competed so far? Or they've yet to compete?
They've competed in competition on Sunday and Monday. They did really well. The most important thing for our team was... Now, we knew that they weren't going to medal or anything, but we wanted them to gain the experience as well as do the personal best, and that they did, which we're very, very pleased. Milo, who's a T37 or 38? T37 is a cerebral palsy with half of his left side wrist movement, which is kind of paralyzed. He did the 400 meters. He didn't make the finals. But he did really well. He shaved at least 17 seconds off his time, so that's wonderful. So he did a seasonal best, so that
was
great.
He's
27.
Okay.
Yeah. And Lei Tu, which is our young and developing athlete, is 18 years old. She's an amputee, and she did shot put. And this was her first time. Again, she did a personal best. We were very pleased with that.
Considering that the Olympic Stadium holds almost as many people as your country, was that at all intimidating?
It was for Milo because immediately you just have to see him on the day, because when he competed, it was his first time there. When he finished running, we could see he sort of startled in the beginning. His takeoff wasn't exactly what he's used to. And when he came back, we said to him, "Are you okay?" And he said, "That stadium was bigger than the usual stadium that we were at." But it's exactly the same. It's just that it had a bigger dome around it. There were lots of people. So it was very intimidating for him. He said it was a huge stadium, but it was exactly the same.
In Fiji... Oh, God. Samoa. Where do they train?
Back home?
Yeah.
We've got facilities back home. Samoa hosted the 2007 South Pacific Games.
Yep.
So we do have facilities back home. In terms of athletics.
So he probably has a slightly better training condition than, say, the guy from Vanuatu in terms of facility access?
I can't really say much for Vanuatu because I've never really been there.
Yeah, so they're running on grass.
Okay, well, no, we've actually got a proper aesthetic surface for him to run on as well. And simply because of these South Pacific Games that the Samoan government hosted. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For athletics.
Yeah. Athletics.
Yes.
You know.
But other sports, we don't have the facilities. It's still a stepping stone. It depends on the discipline that you were referring to. If it's athletics, yes.
Are there many people with athletes with disabilities trying other sports?
Yes. I'm trying to promote, since Beijing, I'm trying to promote powerlifting.
Yeah.
And in 2018 Beijing, I submitted, and which was endorsed and supported by the president and now Paul Bird for the Oceania, a request to Volkov over there regarding powerlifting equipment.
Yeah.
It's something that we don't have at home, and it's something that I believe that AWD athletes will, from Samoa, will actually do well in Paralympic sports.
Yeah.
Because they're stronger,
that history.
Yeah, they have
that
built, yes. Yeah, they have that built. And so I think that we'll place well. We'll probably medal well if we promote powerlifting. But we don't have the equipment nor the facility back home. So I did that in 2008. And instead, BNG and Fiji got the powerlifting equipment. I am now doing that again this year, and hopefully Longkop will be able to grant that.
Do you have like any gyms that would buy the equipment for you where you wouldn't have to do it, or like the resorts have like gyms on them?
We have gyms back home. We have gyms back home and all that. The powerlifting bench is specifically made for the AWD.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you can't they can't exactly lie on your normal able body bent, because they either fall down or into the south because you've got a strap, and then they're not as wide as the AWD powerlifting bent. The other problem we've always had back home, there's a lot of public awareness back home with regards to people in general with physical disabilities and AWD and just AWDs, but the thing we found, do you want to you only got one. Oh, thank you, Andrew. But you guys go ahead.
Thank you. We're
no,
nice.
No, go ahead. What?
Thank you. Okay, reaching on.
That's okay.
Yeah. But it's like the equipment thing for me, looking at it from the outside, it seemed like some of the islands have a better tourism-type culture where they've got more resorts. And places like Samoa, Fiji, and the Cook Islands, they do heavy promotion of the tourism stuff, especially in New Zealand. So it seemed kind of one of the possible routes would be to get them to bring them on in order to get funding and support for that way. It's like a sponsorship thing, but if the equipment is that different, then it doesn't
seem...
Where does
your funding come from at the moment?
Yeah.
From the government?
At the moment, usually is government, government of Samoa that usually finance us, and of course our NPC. Our NPC is a non-profitable organization back home, and we do it on a charitable basis. We don't get paid. We actually put money into our NPC so that the AWDs benefits and have the opportunity to compete internationally.
Okay.
And that's a problem always with Pacific Island and in particular, and always with us is funding.
Will their performances help secure more funding?
Well, of course, if they do well, they'll get more funding. They'll get that media attraction and all that, and obviously there'll be more funding.
Has the Samoan media been paying attention to their performance?
We've sent a lot of, since we've been here, from when the team left Samoa to during the opening, right up to competition day, I've always sent an update to the media back home. And they've published a few of our articles and all that, which has always been good. But always I believe that they tend to prioritize the able-bodied athletes more so than AWD. I mean, it's not just in Samoa, it's pretty much everywhere else. It's promoting the Paralympic movement, which is in Samoa. We need to do a lot of public awareness program. What it is, and in fact, Paralympic Games being the second largest international sports. And people just said, what? What is Paralympic? Where is that? So I actually did an article back home before we left to explain what exactly is Paralympic Games. And just to say that that it is the second largest. And people go, wow, is it? Yes, it is. Because generally they say, oh, special needs. Because there are special needs. And they say, oh, it's just special needs.
Say special needs, they tend to think of people like ID athletes?
Yes, yes.
And they don't understand as people...
No, they don't know how to differentiate between the two.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what we have been trying to do back home, and we've been really good, successful in doing it, but like anything else, it costs money to promote that back home. And we've always relied on government heavily in the past.
Yeah.
And for example, in our team getting here, it was our Prime Minister we have to thank, because he's always been supportive of our committee.
Yep.
Always, from all the international support that we've gone to financially, and that we like to take our head. We like to thank him for that, as well as the government of Samoa for the financial support. Also, we've done a lot of fundraising, our NPC, just to get here, a lot of golf tournaments, a lot of raffles and all that, just to get here. For example, I think this is the first time we've actually had tracksuits And thank God, goodness we fundraised for them because it was cold, cold at the opening. Because we bought our traditional wear for the opening, and come the day, we all decided, and it was a consensus that, oh no, we're going with tracksuits. Thank goodness we fundraised. So that was a class for us. It was cold at the opening.
I bought sleepwear because I came into the day wearing shorts.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to think of...
You bought some sleepwear and put some pajamas on.
I had to do a bright light with blue polka dots. Now I had a really good question and it just completely... What's the involvement with schools? Is that something where you don't have much money to do outreach with schools, or
we tend to do that together with the Ministry of Education, Sports and Culture back home.
Yeah.
Now and then our NBC in conjunction with the sports section do outreach programs back home.
Yeah.
Because they have a limited knowledge in terms of classification.
Yeah.
In terms of AWD, and then we tell the and their limited knowledge, they tend to put in all the AWD athletes together with the with the special needs.
Yeah.
And then we come in and say you need to separate them because this is for these sports and they have certain sports themselves, different classification altogether. So we do that with them.
So,
and we hope to do one before we get home because we usually do it with them because we rely on their funding. Because they fund the project and all we provide the technical support and just the know-how of how to run the projects.
How many classifiers do you have in Samoa?
We don't have a national classifier in Samoa. We've had a technical coach, Mr. Harry James Kyle, who has attended a number of classification workshops and coach workshops provided and the courtesy of the Australian Paralympic Committee and the Oceania Paralympic Committee. So he's gone through that. He has the technical knowledge, but he hasn't been certified as yet.
He's working on it.
There is a workshop, classification workshop in BAG.
Yeah.
And then one in our career games in 2011, in which we were told by Paul of the OBC that once he's finished that league, he'll be able to hopefully secure and a couple of more other workshops be able to secure.
There's no risks that you've invested in him and he'll decide to move to New Zealand, right?
That's exactly the problem we have back home. It's always that. Because it takes a long period of time to get classification, because obviously for funding purposes, situation. So I was actually thinking of signing him in a contract in case, but he's the only one we've had because we invested half already for him, so he has half of the work of the course to complete.
So the Pacific Games, which I know I mentioned earlier, that's something where you're getting, they're having him at the next one, which is in PNG, and you guys are planning to send athletes?
Well, there are PNG games in the air in the next,
the
by
Pacific,
next year.
The Pacific Games.
The South Pacific Games are definitely be held in PNG. Usually it goes through our mother body back home, which is called CESNOC.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in turn, because we pay a subscription to them, they have to, it's through them and then to us.
So you'll, but they'll cover your athletes to send your AWD?
Usually they do, but like you said, the recent games in New Caledonia, we didn't realize they were actually AWD sports there until we arrived here and we were told.
Because they weren't full metal sports at the previous ones.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But what sports were they at the previous ones? Do you know? No idea.
The previous ones.
The ones where they didn't count, like they were. Do you know anything about what's in the future with that, or is it going to be athletics, or you don't know?
It's usually athletics.
Okay.
It's usually athletics. It's never table tennis or powerlifting.
Is
it's
that
usually
why
athletics.
You're putting the focus to a certain degree on athletics? Because that's where the events you're able to compete in regionally, or athletics?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the only one. Regionally, that's the only other discipline that's offered around the Pacific is athletics, and it's the cheapest way to travel. You don't have a lot of equipment to take with you, and that, because that costs money. So generally a lot of Pacific Islands did tend to put their AWDs into athletic sports, for where we want to put ours in. I want to promote powerlifting.
Do you any blind sports at all?
Sorry?
Do you do like the blind sports, or is there a need for athletes with blindness to...
Blindness?
Yeah. Are they in athletics?
We have a T13 athlete, partial blind, that we took through Arafura some time back, and her name was Sifulu, and she plays gold there. Yeah, but well, she was the only one that participated in her class anyway there.
Oh,
but she got gold there. She was a T13, and she was female too. She was a German for a while.
Because some of the blind sports seem like they would possibly be cheaper, like goal ball. I know you have the goals set up, but it kind of seemed like not as much cost because you don't have the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Or football, when you've kind of got the football infrastructure and knowledge in order to do that for blind athletes. So I was just curious if that was something you guys were looking at.
Not just facilities, right? Suppose you decide, let's do table tennis, right? You get a table tennis and some bats, that's cheap. But then what's expensive is having a coach.
Oh,
okay.
It's always the technical support that's
always
the problem, because you need a qualified coach for that. And the coach we now have is a qualified coach, used to be part of the Able Body Athletic Association back home. We requested, and he was kind enough to come across. So we've had them all these years. And that's why you see it's just athletics that we bring in, because he's the only coach we do have.
Okay.
And what we're trying to do is, Frida here will be promoting table tennis, so we will try to do that, as well as powerlifting. And what we want to do is raise, at least open the opportunity for more AWDs back home to see not just athletics, because sometimes we don't do so well in athletics, but we might do well in powerlifting and table tennis. Because table tennis is actually popular, very, very popular game back home. We don't have the fancy cushion bats or anything. It's all wooden and all that, but it's still the same, you know.
Vanuatu sent an able-bodied one to the Olympics. So what did Fiji send? Did they send as many athletes?
I'm not quite sure. I can't comment on
that. I'm just curious. American Samoa is, I guess, from the Pacific perspective, right next door. And they are recognized. Do you guys do anything with the American Samoa?
The AWD side?
Yeah.
Well, I at one stage, 6 years ago, we tried to contact one of theirs. There is a body or an agency back over there with regard. We were able to go through the health department back there, but I didn't go far. It's not, I can't really say. I shouldn't even be commenting on it.
They weren't
able to reciprocate when we had written them a letter. We were interested in doing just inter-island sports, just a little inter-island competition, like a get together and all that. I do believe they have schools for special needs back there, but whether or not they have a specific sporting facility specifically for them, I don't know. I am thinking that most of the athletes tend to go to the States,
because
they're nationals in the United States of America, and usually they take it from there. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few American Samoan nationals here in the American team.
There's none that are listed as their hometown. That was why I was...
Well, they never do list it as their hometown, because they consider themselves not Samoans, but nationals of American Samoa.
Okay. That would... Well, it's just like during the Olympics, you watch them, and there's all these small Pacific Island nations who come in, and there's only like six at the Paralympics, and it's just so kind of strange not to see a wider community of support at the same level.
See, one of the things, the next thing, I suppose, would be to have competitions so that bring the athletes up to give them experience at competition.
So that New Zealand can
level.
Be at the top of the heap of a bunch of nations as opposed to just themselves.
Yeah.
But I live in...
Well, just
I'm,
to compete with the with the neighboring nations.
But I lived in...
We've done that. We've done that in the past. We did a program together, and again, we went through the government of Samoa, where Frida took a delegation from Samoa, which is a mix of physical disabilities and special needs together, to Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, just competition there. But it's not the caliber of competition that we promoting Paralympic Games are.
You gotta compete against the
best. It's not competitive as such. It's basically just a very beginner's level introduction type get together sport event. But what we wanted was, what we still want, we're trying to promote with the rest of the Oceania team here, is how about getting together and doing a sport, which is what BNG is now organizing.
What sport do they want?
Obviously, it'll be athletics.
Oh.
And they're also, they haven't yet given us the confirmed discipline that will be available there. They may put in table tennis. They're definitely putting in powerlifting because they have a powerlifter. Mm. And definitely athletics because they have an athlete for track. But they tentatively did say they may be able to put in the table tennis. But that won't come out until another three months. Again, usually when they put out sports like that, they cater for what they themselves.
It's like the Americans putting baseball into the Olympics.
That's right, that's right.
So what's... that's why netball is played in some of those games when they're hosted in those countries that play netball.
Yeah.
So that's what I know about Samoan women. They are great netball players.
Yes,
yes. Have any of those like elite athletes on the rugby side for the men or the netball side for the women helped promote disability sport in Samoa?
No, not that I don't know of.
Because somebody told me like an NBA player, a US NBA player, was supporting, behind the scenes, was actively supporting their wheelchair basketball players. Mm. So I was curious if your elite athletes were promoting the ones on the disability side too.
I guess if we could actually approach someone to come in and endorse our sports, they probably would. But back home, it's not really as huge as you would have it here, and in your country as well. If you have an athlete down middle here and then go home, everybody just say, oh yeah, they got middle, and then that, and then they'll be that. They don't get endorsements such as what your top athletes would here and get support grants and all that.
Is it the same though for the Olympic athletes there? Or do the Olympic athletes in Samoa get more attention?
Yes, they always do. They always do. But then,
just for the act of participating?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think equity will happen at some point, or is it like 20, 30 years down the line, like the US?
Well, I hope in 10 years down the line, not 20. I'm not that young anymore. But I would hope, and which is what we've been driving back home, is the public awareness program. Just getting out there and say that what Paralympic movement is, the Paralympic Games is, and how it would benefit the AWDs and the country as well. And,
it's a health system too.
Yeah, and it's a health system as well. And this is what we've been trying to do for so many years. But like anything else, always funding. And we're okay because 6 years ago we did a project together with the Australian Sports Outreach Program.
Yeah.
They have grants back home. We applied for it, and we were given a grant in which we went throughout all the islands. We've got two islands back home. We went to the island scouting, doing surveys, and bringing in the athletes, and actually doing programs such as actually displaying the sports. And we had each AWD that have gone overseas at some stage to compete come in, take part, and just demonstrating. And putting up videos and taking out and giving out newsletters from previous competition that we've attended or internationally, they can come in and have a read. Well, this is what we do. We've done that, and like anything else, it's always money because people come in and parents come in with their children, and they come in. What does my child get out of this? They can't. I can't transport my child from the big island to the small island to compete.
It's expensive.
They don't have money.
Yeah.
And so, for example, Frida, our female athlete, Lei Tsu, she comes from a very poor family, does not have much, and she doesn't work in nursing. So Frida has to physically drive to her village and bring her into town to train and then drop her off. Or she will personally, from her own pocket, give her money to she'll travel by bus. So if Frida's busy, she'll give her money to taxi over, or she'll travel by bus so that she can attend. So she can attend.
And this is Frida.
This is Frida.
She's talking Frida. She's talking about
students.
But
she's not saying much. She's at the
moment. You do fantastic things. I lived on in the Marianas for about 3.5 months, so the cost thing, I knew it cost about $80 to fly from Saipan to Tinian, and that's like 3 miles.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the cost thing, wow, adds up.
Mm.
And it's not cheap, and you have to
import everything. It's not cheap back home when the minimum wage is $2.50. In Australian dollars, if you guys are probably be about 50 cents.
Yeah.
50 cents in Australian dollars. So that's the minimum wage back home. So you can just imagine. Most of our coaches and the executive members of our board tend to personally, out of their own pockets, put in funding for our athletes to come in to train and then go out.
Do you think Oceania's been left behind to a certain degree? Because there's so much attention given to African countries and so much attention given to Asian countries. And the development of them. And people seem to forget Oceania actually exists.
Yeah.
So is that something you're aware of?
I think it's almost as if they just disregard the Oceania, and they sink so much money into the African side and all that. And Paul has been really instrumental behind promoting the Oceania Paralympic movement through the IBC and all that. We don't get that much funding.
Yeah.
And any funding that the Oceania Paralympic Committee does give, they try as much as possible to distribute it amongst us and what we, and they tell us, okay, this is how much we can give you to attend the Arafura Games. You need to be there because those are the qualifying games, so the IBC sanctioned. So what you need to do is fundraise this amount of money to get there for accommodation and all that, and given our local currency and the... It's not so strong, but it's very, very weak. And so we do a lot of fundraising. We do a lot of baking at home.
Take it to your good cooks or bakers? Or...
We do a lot of boot sale, a garage sale. We do mostly... We did our first golf tournament back home. And that was able to fundraise our uniforms and sporting shoes, because most of these kids don't have actually... track shoes or cross trainers and all that. So we actually bought Milo, our 400 meters track shoes from Westfield across.
Oh, that's really great for me. Well,
yeah, it is.
Do you have any disability golfers?
I
know they
probably. I really can't comment on that.
I know it's not like a sanctioned sport, but they didn't put it in Rio, which seemed kind of stupid. And they've got the US Open for people with who do golf. So I was just wondering, since you mentioned you did the golf thing, if you had any of them. So
it'd probably be a problem because the green fee back home is very, very expensive.
It's
back home is like a privileged sport. Only those that can afford the money and the time do actually play. So what we do is we take advantage of that and we do fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
We actually hold fundraisers. They pay a lot of money to come in. It's 300 Taala, which is like 150 Australian dollars, to enter a team for a golf tournament back home. So that's what we did in terms of fundraising. Of course, we provide everything comes out of our pocket in terms of food. And
so you like the food there, right? Have you been impressed with London's food?
It's good. It's very nutritional.
What?
It's very nutritional.
That's a very polite way of answering that question.
I'm trying to put my request into Logog for powerlifting equipment. I really don't want to.
I don't want. I wish there was something I could do to
help you.
How much, just out of curiosity, how much does the equipment you want to get cost? Like, how expensive is it? Really?
It's very expensive.
Is it like 10, 20, 30?
I did a quote with Paul and I 4 years ago. This was, mind you, this was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
We're trying to get a second-hand powerlifting when we didn't get it through Bocock last time. In 2006, we sort of tried organize for a second-hand one. And I could not believe it. It was somewhere between 18 to 20
Holy
Australian.
My.
And of course it comes with the whole bench and all the weights and, you know, for workout. And that's just for the machine.
It doesn't include the weights.
It doesn't even, no, it came with it, but it doesn't include the freight.
Oh,
the shipping. And then, yeah.
Because that's heavy equipment.
It is, yes, it is. the freight and all that, which is something that, you know. So hopefully that will work out. If we get it from Locock here, the only thing we need to do when we get home is start fundraising for shipping.
Yeah, shipping costs.
For freight and shipping costs back home. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I still believe that Samoa will actually be able to compete competitively internationally in Paralympic sport if they put in a powerlifting team.
Oh yeah, it
honestly it does.
Having seen the rugby thing, it seems like there would be that culture of weight training going along with it, because
but they do a lot of physical activities, physical hard laboring work at home. They're just naturally used to the hard work. They just need to come in and go through that. Yeah.
Have there been any opportunities to possibly send them over? Has like the Australians at all had opportunities to get them to go to say Australia or New Zealand to train?
The Australian, specifically the Australian Paralympic Committee, has always been good with the Oceania, but they've always been good in trying to get all the Oceania athletes to participate in one. We've always participated in our four games because they're the only ones that we can afford to actually go in to get our ranking and get classified.
Sure, is it the cheapest country
around? It's not. Can you imagine going to Darwin all the way through? And it's actually very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. But it is by far the cheapest and the closest place to go to get that world ranking, as well as try and qualify for the Paralympic Games.
Okay. Is there anything I've failed to ask you in terms of understanding? Now I feel like I understand so much better your situation.
Yeah.
Anything we failed to ask you that we should know about the situation in Samoa?
Well, I would just like, I don't know if you want to say something. In particular, with the two situation, our female 18-year-old developing athlete, as I said earlier, she comes from a very poor family.
Yeah.
And usually back home, the problem has always been, you know, it's always been from home, and from a poor family, she didn't get that enough support from her parents to sort of push her through. So we do that for her.
Yeah.
I say this because everything that she now has in terms of clothing and all that is what we, IFBC, has provided for her. That's how bad her situation is financially.
Yeah.
And to be able to come here. And when she came here, she had a very low, low, low self-esteem. She didn't even want to come. She's never been really, other than our forum, which we took her to, she's never gone beyond Australia, really. So she comes here and she sees here. These guys were at the pre-cutter training program. I only arrived on 28. But when I came, I saw a huge change in her. And I asked her, and she said she really loved it here. She loved the games, and she promised our NPC, she's going to give her 200% training. And that's all we can ask for.
She's going to be back, and will she make the qualifying time, do you think?
Hopefully.
So will she? She'll go back and be an ambassador to others?
What she needs now is the proper coaching and a proper league. Because she's outgrown that league. It should have been replaced 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been replaced. If she gets that proper league, get proper coaching, she'll be able to move freely. The Australian coach at the pre-cutter training program took time with her and sort of trained her, and he said through Paul, and Paul did speak to me, that she had a lot of potential. Naturally, she's a very, very strong girl. She just needs that proper training technique, and of course her leg was a problem. She needs to replace that leg. She's outgrown it 3 years ago. If you see when she's walking, it's all the way down there, and she's kicking it on the side. Yeah, so those are the number of things that we're looking at as well. We're just discussing it before because we want to get her a new lead, and that probably costs her maybe well over 10, 20 Australian.
Oscars cost like 20,000 each.
It is very expensive. She had some improvements done in our fora, in which
changing up the foam.
Yeah, just changing up the foam and everything. But that's something we, if we could. That's something we've always tried and promote. It's for our athletes that they can benefit from it, you know, health-wise and an educator, that there is so many opportunities out there that she could be a part of if she just come out. Now she's seen it, and she's told us that, so that's wonderful for us, because when she gets home, I know that she'll be more committed, she'll be more focused, and she'll try harder. Even if she doesn't get the support of her family back home, there's always our NPC, they've always been behind them. So that's wonderful for us. Mm-hmm.
That's very good for you to have such an athlete.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I will turn off. Thank you. Yeah, that was way...